You're listening to IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. Welcome to the reading of the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for September 27th. I'm Kylie Kaler from Drake University, and here is our first story. The title reads Foundation Honors Teachers by Tim Johnson. The Nelson Family Foundation honored five teachers during an award ceremony Thursday at the Council Bluffs Country Club. Receiving Excellence in Teaching Awards were Council Bluffs Community School District teachers Joanna Dumry Weber of Rue Elementary School, Jane Hannigan Kinney from Abraham Lincoln High School, and Deb Hernandez from Kern Middle School, and Lewis Central Community School District teachers Taylor Lund from Kreft Primary School and Corey Woolners of Lewis Central Middle School. Quote, tonight, five teachers will be awarded a generous $5,000 check and $250 Sonic gift card to be used as incentives for their students and specially designed trophies and lapel pins, end quote, she said. I know how vitally important and what a gift it is to have teachers as committed to their professions as those we have the privilege to honor tonight. These teachers nurture our young people and coach them to take risks, to challenge themselves, to be accountable, to grow, to collaborate, and wherever possible, to engage parents as partners in the process. They inspire and awaken the spirit of our young people to bring out the best of their potential, and they recognize that they can be difference makers in the life of a child who may not show up the first day presenting as a model student. After a brief hiatus last year due to COVID-19, we are excited to host our 13th year of recognizing educators with our Excellence in Teaching Award, John P. Nelson said. Both of my parents were very active in promoting excellence in teaching, and after they passed away in 2007, we created this award to honor their dedication to education. Teachers are so much more to our students than just a voice lecturing at the front of a classroom, he said. They become our children's coaches, mentors, and role models. They teach life lessons, and they teach hard truths, and they teach you how to pick yourself up and to try again. After the past 18 months we've had, we are even more aware of the vital role our teachers play in our students' lives, and we thank all teachers for their time and commitment to educating the future leaders of our country. A subtitle reads, Joanna Drumry Weber. Joanna Drumry Weber has been with the Council Bluffs Community School District since 2014, Nelson said when introducing her. She has been teaching at Rue Elementary School for the past 4 years and currently teaches in the Specialized Autism Program. She holds a bachelor's degree in special education and general education from the College of St. Mary and a master's degree in curriculum and instruction from Doan University. She holds an instructional strategist level 2 endorsement to work with students with moderate to severe disabilities from Morningside University, and she is currently working towards a special education consult endorsement from Morningside. The consistent feedback from Joanna's nominations is that she is much more than a teacher. She has become family and friend to her students, their families, and fellow educators. As one parent explained it, she's a cheerleader, a nurse, a comforting shoulder to cry on, and someone you can always count on during difficult days our kids have. Joanna's compassion and care for her students has led to many student success stories and special relationships and grateful parents. As one colleague highlighted, Joanna helps families feel at ease through her attention to students' needs, but also through her personal approach. Autism students are all so different, and Joanna pulls out all the stops, including her own money, to make sure that they all have successes. She talks to all the families of her students like they are old friends, and I know that puts their minds at ease. Joanna puts her heart and soul into her job, and it shows with the success of her students. I can absolutely understand the trust these families give to Joanna with their little ones. The care and support that she gives to all of them is endless. The next subtitle is Jane Hannigan Kinney. Jane Hannigan Kinney's first teaching job was with the Council Bluffs Community School District following completion of her degree from Creighton, and she has continued to work in various assignments within the district for the past 25 years, said Tom Whitson, who introduced her. Currently, Jane is in her fifth year teaching as part of the Language Arts Department at Abraham Lincoln High School, where she instructs courses ranging from ACT preparation to composition. Jane's nominations paint a picture of her extremely intelligent and gifted educator, but also highlight the influence she has over her fellow educators and students. Whitson said Jane's teaching goes above and beyond every day, and she serves as a model of a teacher who is not just teaching coursework. She is encouraging students to find their voices, to discover their gifts, and to make it through even the darkest of times. As one of Jane's colleagues stated, "There is no one I have worked with during my nearly 20 years in the Council of Schools who is more deserving of this honor. Jane is as unassuming as she is passionate. She is humble and she is intelligent. She is as quietly committed as she is dedicated, and she is just as self-effacing as she is effective. For as much talk as there is in education about ACT scores, Iowa assessments, and the MAP testing, Jane's impact on the lives of her students is immeasurable. The evidence of her impact lies in the number of students who visit her after graduating, the thank you cards, the wedding invitations, and the success stories. The impact Jane has on her students is immeasurable, and several former students were among those who nominated Jane for this honor," Whitson said. One student shared a story of terrible loss, writing that his mother passed away 2 months before he graduated high school. Amidst that loss, there was little comfort to be found from general platitudes, and it was Jane's honesty and advice that helped the student continue moving forward. He wrote, "I am eternally grateful for her for this advice. I'm eternally grateful for her for this advice, and I hope that she knows she deserves many more awards than this one. She's one of the good ones, one of the greats, and her legacy is more than teaching, more than essays and grammar and split infinitives, but one of love, acceptance, and the realization that we must carry the torch even in the darkest days. It is in that darkness, because of that darkness, that we know who we truly are." The next subtitle is for Deb Hernandez. Deb Hernandez has been with the Council Bluffs Community School District for 32 years, presenter John Jerkovich said. She has taught a variety of grades and subjects, including math, science, and social studies, and she's also served as the Curd Middle School's teaching librarian. And after working as a technology coach for the district, Deb returned to Curd Middle School, where she has been teaching science for the past 2 years. Deb completed her undergraduate studies at the University of Northern Iowa, and she went on to complete her master's degree in educational leadership from Drake University, along with a certification in library science from the University of Iowa. And the resounding consensus about Deb as both an educator and person is that she is one of the most selfless people you will meet, said Jerkovich. She constantly offers her time to others and does not rest until she has helped her fellow educators create meaningful experiences for students or inspired students through many activities or lessons she leads. And then after all that is said and done, she keeps going. As one colleague stated, "You will never see Deb sitting. This woman is constantly on the run helping everyone. She doesn't care if you are in her building or her district. If you need something, she is there. She meets with her Battle of the Books Club every weekend during the school year, and she has hosted a game club before school for students who need somewhere to go before school starts. And after school, you will find her hosting a cooking club and a club that makes crafts to be delivered to nursing homes and children's floor of hospital. Even in the summer, you will find Deb reading up on her professional studies, organizing ideas for the next school year, and hosting a summer club, or two or three for her students." The next subtitle reads Taylor Lund. Taylor Lund is beginning her second year with the Lewis Central Community School District, having taught for 5 years prior to moving to the Council Bluffs area, said Bill Cutler, who introduced her. She is currently a special education teacher in a level 3 classroom that specializes in behavioral programming needs. While teaching full-time, she also provides one-on-one tutoring, teaches summer school for students who are eligible in special education, and develops curriculum for the Lewis Central School District. Taylor holds a bachelor's degree in elementary education, special education mild, and moderate disabilities, and a reading endorsement from the Iowa State University. She also holds a master's degree in special education, mild to moderate and severe profound disabilities from Pittsburgh State University. Both colleagues and parents have been impressed with Taylor's endless dedication, high energy, carefully thought out approach in with interacting with her students. Cutler said, "These traits were highlighted again and again by Taylor's nominations as they showcase how Taylor has made a large impact in the Lewis Central Community School District in a short amount of time. As one nominator described, Taylor is wholly dedicated to her students' profession, using her time and resources to support her students. Although Taylor is only in her 20s, she is the most dedicated and caring educator I've had the pleasure to work with. She truly sees every child as an individual with their own specific needs, and she works tirelessly to make sure that each of their needs are met. She works through lunches every single day and is always there working both early and late. She is beyond inspiring and has taught us all more than we can even imagine in a short time of being with our school. Taylor is a wholly exceptional educator who is focused on the individual needs of her students. And as one parent said, the way she approaches daily life with the kiddos in her class is life-altering. And they will carry that with them throughout their lives. This is such an important time for my child, and I believe that this is setting the precedent for how he will feel about school in the future. Because of Taylor's dedication to his personal and academic growth, he feels safe and loved at school, and is now able to relax and focus on learning." The last award winner is Corey Walters. Corey Walters has been with the Lewis Central Community School District for 13 years, Nelson said. She is currently a math teacher at Lewis Central Middle School, as well as the volleyball and girls basketball coach. Corey holds a bachelor's degree in math and computer science with a secondary education endorsement from Central College and a master's degree in curriculum and instruction from Peru State. Parents and fellow educators alike nominated Corey as an advocate for students and an incredibly hard worker and a mentor and support system for all those around her. For students, for fellow educators, and for parents, he said. As one nominator stated, the best word to describe Corey's educational career is true advocacy. Corey believes wholeheartedly, with every bit of who she is, that every student in her classroom deserves the very best of opportunities, and that they can be their very best. No matter who the student is, she finds a way to not only help that student become a better thinker and a better mathematician, but more importantly, a better person. And if anyone knows anything about eighth grade students, this is quite a feat. This mindset drives Corey to always provide the best resources and mentorship that she can, Nelson said. As a parent and substitute described, Corey is the teacher who never wastes a moment that can be spent helping her students. This nominator found herself subbing for Corey for a two-week span in the late 2020 year, and she highlighted Corey's dedication. For the first 2 days, Mrs. Wolners was gone. She Zoomed with every class and taught the students. I simply made sure the students were behaving and not having technical difficulties. On day three, she was told she needed to rest and could no longer Zoom with her students. And I know it was so hard for her to not be able to teach. However, she immediately went into preparing me to be the best teacher for her students that I could be. She is a wonderful mentor, teacher, and person, and there is no one more deserving of this award, especially for how she has navigated the past year, than Mrs. Corey Wolners. The Nelson Family Foundation was established in 1997 by John's parents, H.H. Redd and Ruth H. Nelson. In total, the foundation has granted more than $2.7 million in the Council Bluffs and Omaha communities. Oof, that one made me a little emotional. Teachers are super important, and I think that this was a great article to read today. The next article is about schools to reinstate face mask mandate by Erin Murphy. When a federal judge recently halted implementation of a new Iowa law that prohibits schools from requiring students and staff to wear face coverings in an effort to slow the spread of COVID-19, districts across the state went to work. The reaction at some school board meetings across the state has been heated, to say the least. In the nearly 2 weeks since the new law has paused, at least a dozen Iowa districts, including some of the largest in the state, immediately approved face mask requirements. That has drawn the ire of many Iowa parents who made their feelings clear at school board meetings where mask requirements were debated. In Muscatine, 8 police officers were in attendance as the board voted to enact a partial mask mandate. Multiple people who attended yelled at board members during the meeting. Board President Tammy Drawbaugh at one point called for a 15-minute recess in order to cool temperatures and later ordered 4 people to be removed from the meeting. And in Council Bluffs, a contentious school board meeting rose to enough of a fever pitch that police officers were called to monitor the situation. Anti-mask attendees shouted at board members as they left the room for a recess, which had been called due to meeting's heated atmosphere. In Ankeny, a disgruntled attendee warned board members that he knew where they lived, according to a report from the Des Moines Register. And when the Ankeny board members voted 5-2 to enact a face mask requirement, individuals in the front row of the audience yelled and displayed profane gestures at board members. Republican majorities approved a new law that prohibits schools from requiring all students and staff to wear face masks. The legislation was immediately delivered to the desk of the Republican Governor Kim Reynolds, who signed it shortly after midnight. The law went into effect immediately, creating chaos the next morning across the state for many districts who still had face mask requirements, but no time to prepare for the new law. This summer, the law challenged in both state and federal court. A state court upheld the law, but on September 13th, a federal judge ordered the temporary halt of enforcement while the courts considered legal challenges to the law. The federal suit argues the law discriminates against students with disabilities and serious health conditions because their health is endangered by schools with unvaccinated students who are not wearing face masks. The judge's ruling made it possible for school districts to once again enact face requirements. What the Science Says is a subtitle. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended all students and staff wear face coverings to help slow the spread of COVID-19. Quote, due to the circulating and highly contagious Delta variant, CDC recommends universal indoor masking by all students age 2 and older, staff, teachers, and visitors to K-12 schools, regardless of vaccination status, the CDC's school guidance says. The American Academy of Pediatrics, which represents 67,000 pediatricians across the country, also recommends that all student school staff and students wear face masks. AAP recommends universal masking because a significant portion of student population is not yet eligible for vaccines, and masking is proven to reduce transmission of the virus and to protect those who are not yet vaccinated, its guidance says. Subtitle reads, COVID-19 in Iowa. The virus is surging for a third time in Iowa, and new COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are reaching numbers not seen since last year's winter surge, which was the pandemic's deadliest point and was before the vaccines were widely available. The next subtitle reads, around the state. Sioux City, the Sioux City School Board decided against a mask. The next subtitle reads around the state. Sioux City. The Sioux City School Board decided against a mask mandate, with board members stating a majority of teachers and community members did not want one. Board Vice Chair Monique Scarlett pushed for the 7-member board to require facial coverings for all students, teachers, staff, and visitors. She made a motion to institute a mandate, but there was no second from the board members. 2 of the board members said they personally believe masks work, but the feedback they heard from parents, students, teachers, and students were overwhelmingly against a mandate. On Thursday, Sioux City community members held a rally to encourage the district to reconsider a mask mandate and to push the community to wear a mask. Council Bluffs. At a meeting held the day after the judge's ruling, the Council Bluffs Community School District enacted a face mask requirement for all students, staff, and visitors during school hours when physical distancing is not possible. In explaining the decision, Council Bluffs Community School District Board President Chris LaFerla told the crowd that the district was a defendant in the federal case in which a judge blocked enforcement of the Iowa law and bar school districts from mandating the use of masks. After this ruling, we were faced with a very real legal liability if we did not use masks, he said. The other public district in the city, Lewis Central, has maintained its masks optional policy. St. Albert Catholic School and Heartland Christian School in Council Bluffs also do not require mask usage. The next article is Iowa Latino Festival Celebrates Hispanic Heritage Month by Emily Scheib. Central Latina of Iowa held its 8th annual Iowa Latino Festival on Saturday in Bilas Park to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. When the festival started in 2013, it was held in a parking lot. It's grown from there, moving to Bilas 5 years ago. We wanted to create an event where Latino community and the community at large meets, said Central Latino Executive Director Ramon Calizada. At the festival, there was a children's area, businesses and organizations with booths offering a variety of information, food trucks, music, dancing, and more. Charity Martin said she came out to the event to see more of what Council Bluffs has to offer. I wanted to learn more about my town, she said. It's really cool to see and learn about different cultures within the Council Bluffs area. Calizada said the Latino population has been growing over the last 20 years. In the early 2000s, the Latino population has roughly 2%. In 2010, it was at 11%. He's waiting on final numbers from 2020. As the population grows, the other agencies need to be language accessible and culturally competent, he said. For more information about Centro Latino of Iowa, visit sucentrolatino.com. It is a great time to experience cultures, Calizada said. There are also a couple of pictures with this article. So on the bottom of the article, there is a picture of some little kids in costumes. And so the left says Victoria Santa Cruz 8 Center and fellow members of Grupo de Danza Reyes de Mexico perform traditional Mexican folk dances during the Iowa Latino Festival at Bilas Park. So they're very bright, colorful outfits. They have like red, white, green, black dresses on. And then the boys have like white shirts and a fancy hat on. And then to the right, there are community organizations and other groups distributing information and other services to individuals and families. So it looks like kind of like a farmer's market where there's multiple booths, people passing through the booths and stationed there giving out information and food and things like that. And then the top image is of Valeria Hernandez, age 15, center and fellow members of Grupo de Danza Races de Mexico, performing a traditional Mexican folk dance during the Iowa Latino Festival at Bilas Park on Saturday. And so there are three of them in this picture, and they all are dancing, smiling, having a good time, celebrating their culture. So very cool. And the faces of the day are Carter White and Allison Narmani. Both will leave legacies when they leave St. Albert High School, and they both notched another achievement after being crowned homecoming king and queen Friday afternoon. The renovated St. Albert Gym was full of school spirit as a pep rally and coronation ceremony kicked things off ahead of the Falcons' homecoming game against Earlham. At the end of it all, White and Normani came away with the crown. White is the son of Kevin and Jill White, and he is a senior at St. Albert. He is a multi-sport athlete who is just a couple months removed from winning the state baseball title with the Falcons this past summer. He's played baseball for 5 years, basketball and tennis for 4, and football for 2. He said he's excited to get one last year in competing for St. Albert, and the seniors are hoping for more state tournament runs, especially in basketball. Moments after being crowned homecoming king, White said, "It was an honor knowing how much support he has behind him at St. Albert. It's very exciting," he said. It's a great feeling to know that there are so many people who are here for me. It's a great community. Normani is also a senior at St. Albert. She is the daughter of Joe and Sally Normani. She, too, is a multi-sport athlete and has played volleyball, basketball, and tennis for 4 years, competed in speech for a year. Normani is also active off the court, serving as president of the Student Council, vice president of the National Honor Society, and a member of the drama department and editor of the Accipiter. Following her homecoming queen crowning, Normani said it was a touching moment and just one of the many great memories she hopes to make her senior year. Quote, "This is just so sweet of everyone," she said. "I'm looking forward to making a lot more memories with my friends." White is undecided with his college plans, and Normani plans on attending either the University of Notre Dame or Kansas University to study accounting. They both have bright futures ahead of them, but they both want to savor the rest of their time at St. Albert. You're listening to the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for September 27th on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped in Des Moines. I'm Kylie Kaler from Drake University. IRIS volunteers love to hear from listeners, so if you have any comments or questions about this or any IRIS program, please call toll-free from anywhere in Iowa at 877-404-4747. We are now in the opinion section of the paper. The title reads, "Now Running, Grassley Starts in Fastlane" by Aaron Murphy. Chuck Grassley is running, literally and now politically. Iowa's top octogregarian made it official this week when he announced what most of us have long suspected, that he was running for re-election to an 8th 6-year term in the U.S. Senate. Give credit to Grassley's team for style. The announcement was made via Twitter, although the text was clearly not Grassley's original words since it was not written in his famous online shorthand and at 4 a.m. with a video showing the 88-year-old Grassley on one of his morning runs. The Grassley camp clearly wanted to remind everyone that while he is pushing 90, when he'd become a non-grenarian, Grassley is still in good enough physical condition to wake up and get in a run before the sun makes its daily appearance. Grassley has served Iowans in the Senate since 1981, is a line from Grassley's original release, but it's one that will be used by his political opponents as well. Grassley's longevity is staggering. He was the first elected to office in Iowa when Pee Wee Reese was still playing baseball. Yes, that Pee Wee Reese, Jackie Robinson's teammate on the Brooklyn Dodgers. And Grassley has spent the past 4 decades in the U.S. Senate. While impressive, that's also one of the ways Grassley's opponents will come at him. Prepare to hear endless versions of "it's time for a fresh face" or "new blood." Just as a reminder, those opponents are state legislator and attorney James Carlin on the Republican side. Yes, Grassley faces a primary challenge in former Congresswoman and state legislator Abby Finkenauer, farmer Dave Mulbauer, and physician Glenn Hurst on the Democratic side. Grassley certainly enters the campaign as the favorite. A majority of Iowans have been voting for him for a long time. Until that changes, or at least is seriously threatened, he has to be considered a strong favorite at the start. That certainly appears to be the case, at least if the newest Iowa poll is accurate. In that poll published a week ago, Grassley led Finkenbauer in a hypothetical general election matchup by nearly 20 points, 55% to 37%. That said, even if the polls are accurate at this moment, there is plenty of time for those numbers to change. Whichever Democrat wins the primary and the right to face Grassley, yes, we're assuming here that Grassley survives his primary challenge, that Democrat will be a relatively new face on the stateside political scene, giving him or her the opportunity to engage and possibly sway voters who were previously unfamiliar. There's a good chance that the race will be closer than Grassley is accustomed to. While he typically blows out challengers by double digits, we now live in a supercharged partisan political climate. Exponentially fewer Democrats will cross over and vote for Grassley like they did during the 1980s and 1990s. Those days are long gone. Democrats will put their effort into paint a different image of Grassley than the one his campaign rolled out with this week's announcement. They'll point to Grassley's role in the fast-tracking U.S. Supreme Court nominees under Republican former President Donald Trump. The votes, like his opposition to the bipartisan investigation into the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. They will try to cut through the aw shucks image that Grassley and his handlers have cultivated and portray him as a career politician who has lost touch with the state he represents. But as things stand now, at the official start of Grassley's reelection campaign, he's the one to beat. Choose your favorite political forecasting term, leans or solid Republican. That's Iowa's U.S. Senate race in 2022. All right, we are now into the obituaries. Raymond A. Larson, June 26, 1933 through September 21, 2021. Omaha, preceded in death by his wife, Jerrine. Survived by daughters Kim, spouse Jim Pulverini, Stephanie, spouse Jeff Pulverinetti, grandsons Matt, spouse Lindsay, Andy, spouse Lindsay, Eric, spouse Shelby, Joey, spouse Steph, Tim, spouse Emily, Scott, spouse Carrie, JP, spouse Catherine, 11 great-grandchildren, and many family and friends. The memorial service will be at 1 p.m. Monday, September 27th at Roeder Mortuary. Memorials to Nebraska Humane Society or Children's Hospital. www.roedermortuary.com. The next obituary is for Albert Leo Ring Sr. Albert Leo Ring Sr., age 86, of Neola, Iowa, passed away at CHI Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs on September 20, 2021. He was born on October 21, 1934, to the late Frank R. and Ruona spouse Talati Ring. Albert graduated from St. Joseph Catholic School in Neola. He married his greatest love, Verna Miller Ring, on November 27, 1958 at St. Patrick's Church, Council Bluffs. Together, they were blessed with seven children, Deborah, spouse Bill Schernerbrock, Frank Ring, Denise Ring, spouse Mike Ring, Albert Ring Jr., spouse Connie Ring, Walt Ring, spouse Felicia Ring, Joanne Manhart, spouse Brian Manhart, Alan Ring, spouse Teresa Ring. 18 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren, and he is survived by his brothers, Andy Ring, spouse Sarah Lee, Ronnie Ring, Ben Ring, spouse Callie, and sisters Donna Stageman, spouse Mark, Teresa Taylor, spouse Orville, Martha Denning, spouse Bernard, Jeanette Long, spouse Harry, and Frankie Tiarks, spouse Aaron. And he will also be missed by his special friend and companion, Charlotte Wise. He was preceded in death by his wife, Verna, his parents, brother Dick and Birdine Ring, sisters Claire Delaney and Linda Ring. His life work was building the family trucking business, Ring Transfer, which was founded by his father, Frank R. Ring, in 1923. He and his brother Dick took over the business when their father passed in 1951. Later, brothers Andy, Ronnie, and Ben joined the company. Countless trips were made to the Omaha stockyards and later freight distribution across the country. The Ring Trucking Company has been in operation for 98 consecutive years. Big L, as he's known to many, was one of a kind. After retirement, his hobby was to collect and create his own unique yard art, and he would often enlist the help of family and friends to complete the projects. If you visited Albert on a Saturday night, you would have to watch Molly B's polka show or Gunsmoke. He deeply loved his family, especially his grandchildren, to whom he would affectionately assign specific nicknames. Albert was a great man who will be missed by many. Open visitation Monday 4 to 8 p.m. Mass of Christian burial Tuesday 10:30 a.m. All at St. Patrick Catholic Church, Neola. Interment in St. Patrick Cemetery, Niola, followed by a luncheon at the St. Patrick Church Social Hall. Per family's request, social distancing and masks are strongly encouraged. The next obituary is Vernon Allen Moannon. Vernon Allen Moannon, age 76, formerly of Council Bluffs, passed away September 21, 2021, in Keokuk, Iowa. Vernon was born in Omaha, Nebraska on May 18, 1945, to the late Miles and Hazel Waters Moannon, and graduated from Thomas Jefferson School in 1965. Vernon was united in marriage to Ruby Lillian Van Cleve, and they were blessed with a son, Matthew, and daughter, Connie. Vernon is preceded in death by his parents and wife, Ruby, and grandson, Jonathan Ruby. Vernon worked for over 15 years at Walmart Lake Manawa branch and is a member of the Catholic faith. Survivors include son, Matthew, spouse, Jesse, KS, daughter, Connie, Ruby, Council Bluffs, five grandsons and one granddaughter, sisters Harriet L. Jones, Urbandale, Iowa, brothers Al, spouse Coretta Moannon of Missouri, and Lyle Moannon of Council Bluffs, nieces and nephews. Visitation Friday 5 to 7 p.m., funeral services Saturday 11 a.m., all at the funeral home. Intermittent St. Mary's Cemetery, Portsmouth, Iowa, followed by a luncheon at St. Mary's Hall. And this is through Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Funeral Home and Crematorium. The next obituary goes to Michael Charles Moannon. Michael Charles Moannon, 71 years young, of Council Bluffs, passed away at CHI Bergen Medical Center in Omaha, September 23, 2021, surrounded by family. He was born June 5, 1950, to Charles and Marie Miller Moannon. Mike grew up in Portsmouth, Iowa, and graduated from Harlan Community High School in 1969. He married Barbara Ward on October 8, 1983, in Council Bluffs, and spent 38 years happily married. Mike was preceded in death by his parents, Charles and Marie Moannon, sisters Louis, Dorothy, and Donna, and grandson Dylan Lustgraf. He is survived by his wife Barbara, children Michael, spouse Taylor Moannon, Kayla, spouse Mike Shutters, Jessica, spouse Brad Odd, Matt, Jared, Sarah, and Kelly, grandchildren Rachel, Stephanie, and Sierra Ward, Emily and Maurice Odd, Robert and Ryder Moannon, Rochelle Lustgraf, and Parker Moannon, great-grandson Ben Walling, brothers Patrick, spouse Ruth Moannon, Phil and Greg, sisters Marilyn Arnes and Darlene, spouse Chuck Montgomery, and many nieces, nephews, cousins, and friends. Mike was employed by Mark Hydraulics in Omaha and retired from the Council Bluffs Community Schools in 2012. The funeral service is Monday, 2 p.m. at Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Bylis Park Chapel. A luncheon will follow at the Broadway Christian Church. Visitation with family 1 hour prior to the service on Monday at the funeral home. The family will direct memorials. The next obituary goes to MSG Roger Charles Elliott Sr. This person was a veteran as well. MSG Roger Charles Elliott Sr. at age 72 of rural Silver City, Iowa, passed away on September 23, 2021 at the Omaha Veterans Affairs Hospital after a courageous battle with throat cancer from exposure to Agent Orange during his two tours in Vietnam. Roger was born in Fremont, Nebraska, to Melvin M. Mode and Viola May Robertson Maud. His name was James L. Maud at birth, and he had two younger sisters from this marriage. After Melvin and Viola divorced, they each remarried, and Melvin had 9 more children, and Viola had 5 more children. Full details will be on the Cutler O'Neill website in the near future. Roger was adopted by Charles Henry Elliott and Marguerite Linnea Lindblad of Omaha, Nebraska. Roger was married to Linda L. Aketz, and they had 3 children together: Melissa K. Elliott Martinez, Roger C. Elliott Jr., and Michael J. Elliott. Roger married Judy Gustafson on December 2, 1978, in Council Bluffs, Iowa. There was one son from their union, Robert L. Elliott. He was preceded in death by his birth parents, adoptive parents, son-in-law Roberto Martinez, and several siblings. Roger is survived by his wife Judy of nearly 43 years, daughter Melissa, sons Robert, spouse Kathleen Michael, Robert, eight grandchildren, three great-grandchildren, Marley, his faithful javelin service dog, many nieces, nephews, brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, and many friends. Roger was proud of his military career of 29 years between the Army, Army Reserve, and National Guard. He was a Bronze Star recipient, Eagle Scout, Vigil Honor recipient in the Order of the Arrow. Roger enjoyed spending time with family and friends. Hobbies included reading, gardening, which he thought he was a master gardener, and he was very good at it, target practicing, and an annual family reunion. He was active in several organizations, including Shriners, Shriners Legion of Honor, Covert Lodge, Scottish Rite, American Legion, National Soldiers, Heroes of the 76th, Straight Shooters, Pheasants Forever, and the NRA. He held the role of Scoutmaster in Trenor, Iowa for many years, Omaha Covert Masonic Lodge No. 11, service Wednesday 5 p.m. followed by visitation with the family at 8 p.m. at Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Bylas Park Chapel. Funeral service Thursday 10 a.m. at the funeral home. A luncheon will follow at the Tangier Shrine in Omaha. Interment Monday, October 4th, 2021 at Omaha National Cemetery with military rites tendered by the Trenor, Iowa American Legion, assisted by the Kansville Riders Honor Guard. The procession will depart from Cutler O'Neill at 8:45 a.m. on Monday. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Tangier Shriners or javelin.org per his request. He will be greatly missed by all of his family and friends. The next obituary is David E. McIntosh. David E. McIntosh, age 54, passed away at the Florence home on September 4th, 2021. He was born in Council Bluffs, Iowa on April 2nd, 1967 to Harvey E. McIntosh and Joyce Ullrich. He is survived by his daughter, Destiny McIntosh, and his mother, Joyce Ullrich Carl, his sister, Joanne Higgins, spouse, Paul, and nieces and nephew. He was preceded in death by his father, Harvey E. McIntosh, and his partner, Teresa Hoop. Funeral service will be held Saturday, October 9th at 2 p.m. at Calvary County Church, 22429 Highway 6, Council Bluffs, Calvary Country Church, 22429 Highway 6, Council Bluffs, 51503. The next obituary is Shirley J. Bertelson. Shirley J. Bertelson passed away peacefully on September 23, 2021. She was 86 years old. Shirley was born on July 11, 1935, in Missouri Valley, Iowa, the daughter of Friedrich and Dolores Smithson Rothenay. On August 19, 1953, she married the love of her life, Dale Bertelson, and together they had five children. Shirley and Dale lived much of their life together in Honey Creek, Iowa, before moving to Council Bluffs after retiring from farming. She was a devoted wife and mother and the best grandma. Nothing made Shirley happier than time spent with her children and grandchildren, and later in life, her great-grandchildren. Family gathering at holidays and birthdays, getting beaten at a game of cards, and visiting over a cup of black coffee are just a few memories that will be cherished, not to mention a variety of homemade Christmas goodies that were always a family favorite. Shirley was preceded in death by her husband Dale in 2001, son Jess, two brothers Dwight and Norman Rothenay, as well as three sisters, Arlene Carnes, Marjorie Nils, and Patricia Graves. Shirley was survived by her daughters, Linda, spouse Bruce Kitzner, Cindy, spouse Mike Haynes Hoffman, Rita, spouse Gary Miller, and Sandra, spouse David Campbell, as well as grandchildren, Casey, spouse Sarah Kitzer, Cody, spouse Katie Kitzer, Brick, spouse Kim Becker Lotzerbach, Brandon, spouse Diana Lotzerbach, Jessica McKinnon, and Sarah, spouse Kyle Rodenberg. She is also survived by siblings Joanne Lou, Gordon Darlene Rothenay, Barbara, Rothenay, and numerous great-grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. A special call out to the neighbors on Arbor Circle who always had a watchful eye over her, and to her walking buddies who always gave her the extra boost with their kindness and friendship. Visitation Tuesday at 5 to 7 p.m. Memorial service Wednesday 11 a.m. at the Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Vilas Park Chapel with a luncheon to immediately follow in the Cutler O'Neill Community Room. Interment in Grange Cemetery, Honey Creek, Iowa. In lieu of flowers, memorials are suggested to St. Croix Hospice, First Christian Church, or Grange Cemetery. The next obituary in Murray goes to Dorothy Ann Fox. Dorothy Ann Fox passed away September 20th, 2021 at Risen Sun Christian Village in Council Bluffs. Dorothy was born January 27th, 1935 to the late John and Maggie Kowalski Manzankowski in Litchfield, Nebraska. Born and raised on the family farm, she attended Litchfield High School, graduating with the class of 1951. On July 24th, 1956, she was united in marriage with Jerome Fox. They made their home in Kearney, Nebraska for many years until moving to Council Bluffs, Iowa in 1973. Dorothy was a devoted wife and mother to their three children, Cindy, Tom, and John. She was a loving homemaker and especially enjoyed spending time with family and grandchildren. Dorothy always looked forward to trips back to Nebraska to visit family and friends, and she loved dancing to polka music at many Manzankowski family gatherings throughout the years. She worked in the cosmetic industry department at Osco Drug, retiring as supervisor after 24 years. In addition to her parents, Dorothy is preceded in death by seven sisters, two brothers, and two siblings at birth. Dorothy leaves behind her husband of 65 years, Jerome, and daughter Cindy Fox, both of Council Bluffs, sons Tom, spouse Marie of Harlan, Iowa, and John, spouse Kim of Hamilton, Illinois, five grandchildren, Sarah, spouse Ashley, Stephen, Cole, Will, and Megan, sister Marietta Pillinger of Grant, Nebraska, nieces and nephews. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, September 28th, 2021 at St. Patrick Church from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., followed by mass Christian burial at 10:30 a.m. Interment, Ridgewood Cemetery, followed by a luncheon at Walnut Hill Reception Center. Memorials are suggested to St. Patrick Catholic Church. The next obituary is for Gary Alvin Peterson. Gary Alvin Peterson, age 84, of Council Bluffs, passed away September 14, 2021. Gary was born in Council Bluffs on April 3, 1937, to the late Alvin and Catherine Riddle Peterson. He graduated from Thomas Jefferson High School, and on August 18, 1956, Gary married Ella Anderson, and to his union, two daughters were born, Danette and Becky. Gary began his career with the Union Pacific Railroad and Rock Island Railroad. Gary went on to become the president of the Slipper Theater Company, a family-owned operated business. In addition to his parents, Gary is preceded in death by his great-granddaughter, Isla Landstrom, stepfather Glenn Slipper, stepmother Vivian Pedersen, stepsister Patricia Suss, sister-in-law Gloria Anderson, Margaret, spouse Lester Donner, brother-in-law Donald, spouse Dorothy Williams. Gary is survived by his wife of 65 years, Ella Peterson, daughters Danette, spouse Robert Bockert, Becky, spouse Sven Mugginson, all of the Council Bluffs, four grandchildren, Aaron Landstrom, spouse Nils, Heather Oregano, spouse Zach, Jordan Bogart, and Eric Magnuson. Six great-grandchildren, Liam Landstrom, Finn Landstrom, Evie Landstrom, Aiden Landstrom, Grayson Oregano, Henley Oregano, stepbrother Robert Eckholt, spouse Ruth of Omaha, sister-in-law Barbara, spouse George Taylor of Reno, Nevada, niece Colleen, spouse Gary, and daughter Michaela Burrows of of Reno, Nevada, nephew Jason, spouse Jenny Anderson, and sons Nathan and Seth of Council Bluffs. A private funeral service will be held Friday, September 17, 2021 at 11 a.m. with the visitation 1/2 hour prior to the service at Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodrigg Bylis Park Chapel. Chaplain Jason Bloomgarden, officiant intermittent in Memorial Park Cemetery, Council Bluffs, Iowa, was followed by a luncheon. Gary was very much loved, and he will be missed by his family and all that knew him. There is in memoriam for Donald J. Elrod, 9/26/1955 through November 5th, 2007. Happy birthday, Don. We love you. We miss you so much. Love, Deb, Lindsay, and Carrie. There's also a headline that reads, Nebraska billionaire philanthropist Walter Scott dies at 90. We aren't going to read this national obituary, but wanted to mention it. We don't have much time left, but I wanted to go to the sports section. So, Titans Cruise by Jackets by Peter Huigan. Class 4A number 6 Lewis Central football wasted no time in Friday's game against Thomas Jefferson at Wickersham Stadium, scoring on every first half possession but one in 49-20 win. Junior quarterback Braylon Camerad threw for 3 touchdowns and rushed for 2 more to give the Titans a 42-6 lead at halftime. The game was the first district game for both teams. The win improved Lewis Central's record to 3-2 and dropped Thomas Jefferson to 0-5. It's good to start off districts 1-0, Comrade said. Our O-line was played great, and our ability to get open in space and complete passes led to our offensive success. It feels really good to get a couple touchdowns on the board, to gain some confidence back, to move on to next week. Our backs are against the walls right now, and we have 2 losses already. We can't afford another one, so we just have to keep going. Lewis Central's head coach Justin Comrad said he saw some positives, but said the Titans still have some things they need to work on, but added Lewis Central's accomplished its main goal of starting districts with a victory. You have to start off on the right foot, and we accomplished that, Justin Comrade said. The other thing was how effective we are. We will be able to execute to our standard. It was okay. We did some good things. We did some things that were uncharacteristic that we will still have to fix. We got a lot of guys into play, so that factors in a little bit. We're happy with the victory. You're happy with the district win, and that's what we set out to do with these guys. We just have to continue to keep playing and keep working and keep striving to execute. Thomas Jefferson struggled on offense in the first half, but did find some success mostly through the junior quarterback, Austin Schubert. Senior Lane Tolman also had a big play on the 60-yard kick return. A couple of drives later, Schubert connected with junior Hayden Kramer on a 24-yard completion, and the Yellow Jackets' lone first-half touchdown came midway through the second quarter. Schubert started the drive with a 55-yard pass to Kramer and connected with Reese Schlachtfeld on a 20-yard completion for a touchdown. The second half didn't change much, but the Thomas Jefferson fumbled on the first play, and LC scored 4 plays later. Thomas Jefferson showed its resolve the rest of the game, scoring 2 more touchdowns, and Schubert connected with senior Blake Brennan and Tolman in the second half to score 14 points. Justin Comrade said that he was proud of his team's effort throughout the game. I thought we played with some really good energy, he said. We did some really good things, and the game plan coming in was to break some of our tendencies and work on some of the stuff that we had been struggling with. We did some good stuff here and there. We still have to fine-tune some stuff and get better. I'm happy with the energy. Comrade also added that he was happy with how his quarterback played in the first half. We put a lot on his plate, Justin Comrade said to Braylon Comrade's performance. He was to be on the field general back there, and he has been challenged to continue to execute. He has plenty of guys around him that can make some plays and do some good things when they get the balls in their hands. Despite the loss, Thomas Jefferson head coach Brant Anderson said that he was proud of how the team fought in the second half. LC was an explosive team, Anderson said. We had to get some breaks. We had to play really well in the first half, and we didn't do that. We got some quick scores, and the punt returns really hurt us. We just couldn't get any field position in the whole first quarter. The dominoes didn't fall the right way for us to be in like our plan was. Once we were at the point at halftime, we said there's two ways any team can go at this point. We can just say, whatever, this game is over, and just wallow around. Or you can go out and fight and use this as a practice. We got four more district games to go. How are you going to get better? By playing the team that's probably the best in the district. Lewis Central is in action next at 7 p.m. on Friday versus Des Moines Hoover at home. Thomas Jefferson is in action next at 7 p.m. on Friday at Dallas Center in Grimes. So this is the end of today's reading for the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for September 27th. And the Nonpareil can be heard each weekday at 3 p.m. Iris volunteers love to hear from listeners. So if you have any comments or questions about today's broadcast or any Iris program, please call toll-free from anywhere in Iowa at 877-404-4747. I am Kylie from Drake University in Des Moines, and thank you so much for listening.